हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्य लीला चैप्टर 23 लाइफ्स अल्टीमेट गोल लव ऑफ गॉडहेड पेज 63 223 61 to 62। श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु कंटिन्यूड उद्गुरना अनस्टेडीनेस and Vishvasa Cheshta, boastful activities, are aspects of transcendental madness. In separation from Krishna, one experiences the manifestation of Krishna, and one thinks oneself to be Krishna. In conjugal love, Shringar, there are two departments, meeting, sambhog, and separation, vipralamba. On the platform of meeting, there are unlimited varieties that are beyond description. Srila Prabhupada. Vipralamba is described in the Ujjwala Nilamani, Vipralambra Prakarana 3 and 4. Yunayor Ayuktayor Bhavo Yuktayor Vata Vo Mitaha Abhistalingana Dinam Ana Vaptao Prakrishyate Savipralambo Vigeya Sambhogonati Karaka Navina vipralambena samboga pushtim ashnute. When the lover and the beloved meet, they are called yukta, connected. Previous to their meeting, they are called ayukta, not connected. Whether connected or not connected, the ecstatic emotion arising due to not being able to embrace or kiss each other, as desired, is called vipralamba. This vipralamba helps nourish emotions at the time of meeting. Similarly, sambhoga is described in the following verse, quoted from the Vedic literature by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his Anuvasya. Darshanal linganadinam anukulyan nishevaya yunor alasam arohan bhava sambhoga iryate. Meeting each other and embracing each other are aimed at bringing about the happiness of the lover and the beloved. When this stage becomes increasingly jubilant, the resultant ecstatic motion is called sambhog. When awakened, sambhog is divided into four categories. 1. Purva rag antara. After purva rag, attachment prior to meeting, sambhog is called brief, sankshipta. 2. Mana antara. After mana, anger based on love, sambhog is called encroached, sankirna. 3. Kinchid dura pravasa anantara. After being a little distance away for some time, sambhog is called accomplished. Sampanna. And 4. Sudur pravasa anantara. After being far away, sambhog is called perfection. Samrid dhiman. The meeting of the lovers that take place in dreams also have these four divisions. 223.63. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Vipralamba has four divisions, Purva Rag, Mana, Pravasa, and Prema Vaichitya. Srila Prabhupada. Purva Rag is described in Ujjwala Nilamani, Vipralamba Pakarana 5. Ratir Ya Sangamat Purvam Darshanat Shravanadi Ja Tayor Unmilati Pragyai Purva Raga Sauchate. When attachment produced in the lover and beloved before their meeting, by seeing, hearing, and so on, becomes very palatable by the mixture of four ingredients, such as vibhava, anubhava, this is called purva rag. Footnote 74. Referring back to text 48, the four ingredients are vibhava, anubhava, sattvika, and vyabhichari. The word mana is also described in Ujjwala Nilamani, Vipralamba Prakarana. Dampatayor bhava ekatra sator ap yanu raktayo. Swabhish tashlesha vikshadi nirodhi mana uchate. Mana is a word used to indicate the mood of the lover and the beloved experience, whether they are in one place or in different places. The mood obstructs their looking at each other and embracing each other, despite the fact that they are attached to each other. Pravasa is also explained in the Ujjvala Nilamani, Pralamba Prakarana 139, as follows. Purva sang gatayor yunor bhaved deshan taradivihi. Vyabhadhanam tuyad pragyai sa pravasa itiryate. Pravasa is a word used to indicate the separation of lovers who were previously intimately associated. This separation is due to their being in different places. Similarly, prema vaichitya is also explained in the Ujjvala Nilamani, Viparalambra Pakarana 134. Priyasya san nikarshepi premotkarsha swabhavata. Yavisesha dhyartistat prema vaichityam uchate. Prema vaichitya is a word used to indicate an abundance of love that brings about grief from fear of separation, although the lover is present. 2, 4, 23, 64, 65. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Of the four kinds of separation, three, purva rag, prabhasa, and mana, are celebrated in the Srimati Radharani and the gopis. In Dwarka, among the queens, feelings of prema vaichitya, fear of separation, are very prominent. My dear friend Kurari, it is now night and Lord Sri Krishna is sleeping. You yourself are not asleep or resting, but are lamenting. Should I presume that you, like us, are affected by the smiling, liberal, playful glances of lotus-eyed Krishna? If so, your heart is deeply pierced. Is that why you're showing these signs of sleepless lamentation? Srila Prabhupada. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.90.15 was spoken by Lord Krishna's queens. Although they were with Krishna, they were still thinking of losing his company. Verses 66 to 93, the transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani. 2:23, 66 to 68. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj, is the supreme hero in all dealings. Similarly, Srimati Radharani is the topmost heroine in all dealings. Quote, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, and he is the crown jewel of all heroes. In Krishna, all transcendental good qualities are permanently situated. Footnote 75. This verse is also found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1.17. The transcendental goddess, Srimati Radharani, is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attraction to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval, internal potency of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada. This text is found in the Brihad Gautamiya Tantra. For an explanation, see Adi Lila 483-95. Udriti, Adi Lila 484-95. Devi means resplendent and most beautiful. Or else it means the lovely abode of the worship and love sports of Lord Krishna. Krishna Mayi means one who's within and without our Lord Krishna. She sees Lord Krishna wherever she casts her glance. Or Krishna Mayi means that she is identical with Lord Krishna, for she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Her worship, Aradhana, consists of fulfilling the desires of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the Puranas call her Radhika. Truly, the personality of Godhead has been worshipped by her. Therefore, Lord Govinda, being pleased, has brought her to a lonely spot, leaving us all behind. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30-28. Right? So here the gopis are all speaking, so they all know the glories of Radharani. But at the same time, as they were very much absorbed in their own fortune that was there, And because of that, then the balance of the whole rasa dance couldn't be obtain, because if everybody's thinking of their own position, it won't flow. But when Radharani is the center and all that is with Krishna, but also then in line with Srimati Radharani's mood, then it all flows very nicely. And then you can have the Maharas. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to work. Therefore, Radha is the Parama Devata, the supreme goddess, and she is worshipable for everyone. She is the protectress of all, and she is the mother of the entire universe. I have already explained the meaning of Sarva Lakshmi. Radha is the original source of all the goddesses of fortune, or Sarva Lakshmi indicates that she fully represents the six opulences of Krishna. Therefore, she is the supreme energy of Lord Krishna. The word Sarva Kanti indicates that all beauty and luster rest in her body. All the Lakshmis derive their beauty from her. Kanti may also mean all the desires of Lord Krishna. All the desires of Lord Krishna rest in Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radhika fulfills all the desires of Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of Sarva Kanti. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. 223.69. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna are unlimited. Out of these, 64 are considered prominent. The ears of the devotees are satisfied simply by hearing all these qualities, one after the other. Texts 70 to 77 are quoted from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha 2.1, 23 to 30. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Krishna, the supreme hero, has the most beautiful transcendental body. This body possesses all good features. It is radiant and very pleasing to the eyes. His body is powerful, strong, and youthful. Krishna is the linguist of all wonderful languages. He is truthful and very pleasing speaker. He is expert in speaking, and he is a very wise, learned scholar and a genius. Krishna is very expert in artistic enjoyment. He is highly cunning, expert, grateful, and firmly determined in his vows. He knows how to deal according to time, person, and country, and he sees through the scriptures and authoritative books. He is very clean and self-controlled. Lord Krishna is steady, his senses are controlled, and he is forgiving, grave, and calm. Right? So you see this, he knows how to deal according to time, person, and circumstances, and he sees through the scriptures and authoritative books. So that means according to what is given, you know, by the Vedic scriptures and by the Acharyas, then we see Krishna, he is following that because they're just documenting what Krishna does. And so this idea of one's not following the rules, it's not because the book says, it's because that's the process by which you express your devotion. And so that expression of the devotion, it's done in these particular ways. Just like, let's say, someone's learning to cook, then they have to be very careful how they're holding the pan, the spoon, the wrist, how it's working, all the different things that they're doing. At the same time as once they know how to cook, they're still following all those and now even more expertly. But their focus is on, okay, what's next? You know, how much do we stir it? What do we do now? You know, when you use a lid, all these. They're just thinking about the effects that it will give by using the technique. So in the beginning, you follow the rules because otherwise there is no technique. But then when it becomes spontaneous, the technique is just naturally used as it is useful. Right? You don't use techniques just to use techniques. You use the technique because it does something. So that's the difficulty, is to come up with someone who uses technique just because it's technique, and that's Niyamagraha. Then there's a person that doesn't see the importance of the technique and throws it out and says, oh, no, it's that we don't need all this technique. So we see is that Krishna himself, he all the qualities that are here are all wonderful qualities, that these are the natural qualities that one would use in Krishna's service. And so they arise simply by serving Krishna. So 50 of these qualities are there in naturally in the jivas. And so then through devotional service, these all develop. But it's because one's focused on Krishna, right?
Maharaj?
Yes.
So when the gopis learn the 64 arts, every single one of these technique I exclusively learn, studied, and practice for Krishna's pleasure. Correct?
Yes. 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 Means that that's one of the things that you see is that one will be trained in all these things. Now, you don't have these, one can learn these, you know, quite efficiently because, you know, you don't have conditioning and other elements to restrict one's development of these areas. But the point is that one is shown specifically how to do these different activities of the 64 arts. You know, so as it mentions in the verse there, then they're all permeated with that love that Srimati Radharani has, because she is the one that loves Krishna. It says the first opening was she's the perfect counterpart. Like that. Similarly is the topmost heroine. Like that. Well, that was on the previous, or where we started. Yeah. Oh. Point is she's the counterpart. So he is the full Shaktiman. She's the full Shakti. So that means every aspect of his personality, she is the counterpart of that. She's the energy. So then everything is perfectly understood and all that, what to do, which arts to use and which times and which combination. That's what it says, dealing according to time, person, and country. And so all these things are there. So there's not that they're not dealing. It's not that they're, you know, like one of these, you know, hippie love-ins where they just sit there and bang on instruments and, you know, anything just to make some experience and all that. But they know very technically the things. And so how they'll play, what they'll play, you know, all these things, but it is spontaneous because there's rules, because something gives a specific result. You sing a particular rag at a particular time of the day or a particular occasion, it gives a very specific experience. So when a particular experience is desired, that particular raga, whatever goes with that, whatever, however you want to make it, then all those things naturally go. It's just like you're cooking, you want a very specific kind of flavor, then naturally all the techniques that will bring out that flavor, those are used. But so that means they have to know flavor. They have to know technique. They have to know all the time, place, that. So they know everything.
Yes.
And then with that, it's simply centered on Krishna's pleasure. And so it's very natural and spontaneous. That's why it's very much misunderstood that it's just, you know, whatever I feel like, it's whimsical and like that. And, oh, why don't we do this? We always do that. And no, but that we always do this one thing because it works, you know? That's the point. Is this raga sung at this time because it works? That's the way it's manifested.
Right. what I'm also interested to know is those 64 arts or whatever expertise the gopi has, is it some of them used directly when they are with Krishna, and others when they do their when they have their duties as housewife, when they take care of the kids? Do they use these arts all keeping Krishna in mind?
Means the point is the arts are how things function, how things work. And so it's always going to be the point that they're being used in their most excellent form and all that, when it's going to be used nicely for Krishna. But in their household duties and all that, the same arts are used. Yes. But the point is they're always absorbed in Krishna. So whether they're seeing, because they don't have to perform their duties with detachment and remembering Krishna.
Right.
And therefore get purified in that. They're performing their duties because, you know, they don't want anybody to suspect them. And they're doing it nicely, but they're always remembering Krishna. So they're detached. So in other words, they're absorbed in Krishna, therefore they're detached. They're absorbed in Krishna, and you know, and these other things just by habit, they do them very nicely.
It's out of habit,
right? Yeah. So for us, it may be part of our kind of like practice and sadhana, but for them, it's not sadhana. It's just naturally how things work. But you'll see the most wonderful arrangements when it's being done in connection with Krishna. These others, they're just the mechanics of them are done. But the point is the arts are only a medium for the expression of the gopis' affection. So therefore, if they're at home and using these arts, then it's not about the family members and all that. So they'll perform their duty properly. They're not going to not do their duties. But it's about their absorption in Krishna, right? So then naturally they'll want to do things for Krishna and everything like this. So one can see. So for us, the natural thing is in our house, we can do things directly for Krishna. You know, we're cooking because we're going to offer it. Gopis in their house, they may not be able to stop and have an offering and offer it to Krishna and that, you know, it may not work out so well. Right? You know, so therefore then these aspects are here, is that aspect of their life is not where the focus is, because they're already on the platform of perfection. For us as sadhakas, then we'll look at the example of those who are here and perform the pastimes in the Boma Leela. So we see, as let's say, like of the acharyas, the Goswamis in Vrindavan, that some of them were very expert in cooking. Whatever they cooked, it would taste like nectar. And so, you know, seeing those aspects, then we also then try to do everything very nicely, or, you know, this kind of thing. We don't take, oh, the gopis do like this in their house, so we should also do. We generally take from those who are here, because that position of the gopis is not necessarily our position. But in any case, they're doing their duties nicely, remembering Krishna. They're not attached to the results of the activities that they're performing, because they're doing them in the house. But at the same time, as when they do the 64 arts, they're just for Krishna's pleasure. So they're not about themselves and their enjoyment.
Yes, okay.
Yeah?
Very good, thank you.
Okay. You moved up. You were on the previous page and now you moved up. Okay. Okay. He is very clean and self-controlled. Lord Krishna is steady. His senses are controlled. And he is forgiving, grave, and calm. He is also equal to all. Moreover, he is magnanimous, religious, chivalrous, and kind. He is always respectful to respectable people. Krishna is very simple and liberal. He is humble and bashful, and he is the protector of the surrendered souls. He is very happy, and he is always the well-wisher of his devotees. He is all auspicious, and he is submissive to love. Krishna is very influential and famous, and he is the object of attachment for everyone. He is the shelter of the good and the virtuous. He is attractive to the minds of women, and he is worshipped by everyone. He is very, very rich. Krishna is the supreme, and he is always glorified as the supreme lord and controller. Thus, all the previously mentioned transcendental qualities are in him. The 50 qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead mentioned above are as deep as an ocean. In other words, they are difficult to fully comprehend. These qualities are sometimes very minutely exhibited in living beings, but they are fully manifested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, living entities are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita 15:7. Mama evamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanha. Manashastani indriyani prakriti stani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The qualities of Krishna are present in the living entity in minute atomic quantities. A small portion of gold is certainly gold, but it cannot be equal to a gold mine. Similarly, the living entities have all the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in minute quantity, but the living entity is never equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is therefore described as the Supreme Being, and the living entity is described as a jiva. God is described as the Supreme Being, the chief of all living beings, because he is supplying the necessities of all others. Eko bahunam yo vidhati kaman. The Mayavadis maintain that everyone is God. But even if this philosophy is accepted, no one can maintain that everyone is equal to the Supreme Godhead in every respect. Only unintelligent men maintain that everyone is equal to God or that everyone is God, because that doesn't make sense, logical. That's the fun part, is they pride themselves in being very logical in that, because the mental speculation becomes the prominence, because coming to that level of consciousness, you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining that they're seeing on that platform of the soul. And so their idea of God now transforms into the impersonal attachment, and their performance of, you could say, morality originally becomes reduced down to renunciation. So they're not actually performing those aspects. They become just absorbed in this impersonal understanding. So then they pride themselves in logic. But at the same time, when it comes to this point, they're not logical at all. You know, he says, you know, even you take that drop of water and throw it in the ocean, it's not now I have two oceans, or it merges and connects with the whole unlimited. No, it's just one drop in the ocean. So the living entity has, coming from Krishna, right? Because the cause and effect, manifestation of the jiva, means that those 50 qualities of the jiva that they have in minute, they're there in Krishna in full. And so we manifest as a small portion of that. And so they are there in Krishna. But we have them, because being in effect, we can't claim to be the cause. We're only a portion of the you know, we manifest a certain aspect of the cause. And that's all. But at the same time, is because he is the source of everything, he himself never becomes less, because the manifestation doesn't mean that he becomes less to manifest. He's the source of the energy. Okay. Texts 78 and 85 are quoted from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2137 to 44. Okay. 2:1, the last one was 2:23 to 30. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Apart from these 50 qualities, there are five other qualities found in the Supreme Personality of Godhead that are partially present in demigods like Shiva. Right, so those first 50, those are ones that the jivas may share with the Lord, and based on those qualities, then that's where they're interacting with the Lord. The pastimes are going to be happening by using those qualities, because willpower is expressed through qualities. So when you have good qualities, that means the work, the effort, and the results then will be very nice. And if the qualities aren't good, then you get the results and all that, and it becomes lessened. So one wants perfect results for Krishna, therefore one uses all these nice qualities. These qualities are: 1, the Lord is always situated in his original position. He is omniscient. He is always fresh and youthful. He is the concentrated form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And 5, he is the possessor of all mystic perfection. There are another 5 qualities which exist in the Vaikuntha planets in Narayana, the Lord of Lakshmi. These qualities are also present in Krishna, but they are not present in demigods like Shula and Shiva or other entities. These are: 1, the Lord possesses inconceivable supreme power. 2, he generates innumerable universes from his body. 3, he is original source of all incarnations. 4, he bestows salvation upon enemies, kills. And 5, he has the ability to attract exalted persons who are satisfied in themselves. Right? So it means the Atmaramas and that. So they're not in any way distracted by the material energy, you know, any feature, but he's able to attract their attention. So that's something that, you know, the others don't have, right? Although these qualities are present in Narayan, the predominating deity of the Vaikuntha planets, they are even more wonderfully present in Krishna. Apart from these 60 transcendental qualities, Krishna has an additional 4 transcendental qualities. So Narayana has all these qualities, you know, and great, but then in Krishna, they're even more wonderful. So because he being the source of them, and in his pastimes with the sweetness, when these qualities manifest in the pastimes of sweetness, they'll take on one flavor. They manifest through majesty, they'll take on another flavor. But the point, yeah. So now here's an additional 4. These are: Krishna is like an ocean filled with waves of pastimes that evoke wonder within everyone in the three worlds. Two, in his activities of conjugal love, he is always surrounded by his dear devotees who possess unequaled love for him. Three, he attracts the minds of all the three worlds with the melodious vibration of his flute. And four, his personal beauty and opulence are beyond compare. No one is equal to him, and no one is greater than him. Thus, the personality of Godhead astonishes all living entities. Both moving and non-moving within the three worlds. He is so beautiful, he is called Krishna. Above Narayan, Krishna has four specific transcendental qualities. His wonderful pastimes, an abundance of wonderful associates who are very dear to him, like the gopis, his wonderful beauty and the wonderful vibration of his flute. Lord Krishna is more exalted than ordinary living beings and demigods like Lord Shiva. He is even more exalted than his personal expansion, Narayana. And all the Supreme Personality of Godhead has 64 transcendental qualities in full. And so he has unlimited qualities, but these are prominent ones by which then you can see, you know, appreciate very nicely. And so then these 64, you know, as it is, then there's so many nice qualities. Like somebody becomes famous because of like one quality, you know, the very powerful or very bold or very charitable or very honest or very, you know, just like that. And so that's how they're known. You know, it's like you even see the great personalities like in Europe, you know, that, you know, this one, the brave, or this one, the lionhearted, or this one, the just, or this one, the punisher. You know, they have all those kind of names because it's one particular quality, but Krishna has 64. Right?
But today people are famous for all the wrong reasons, because they're crooked, because they're corrupt.
Yes, that's the thing. Unfortunately, then yeah, because what happens is these qualities, as they come into the material world, then, you know, they take on the direct aspects of piety. But they become perverted because now it's not about Krishna. But then coming into the world, as one works within the modes, they start to become distorted. So those distortions, that's where things start to get really, really weird. It's already strange. It means it may look the mirrored effect, but it's perverted because it's not about Krishna. You know, so it's reversed because it's not in that way. But then it starts to become distorted. You know, people have, let's say they're determined, but they're determined to do nonsense. So it just becomes distorted and it doesn't actually manifest nicely.
It's interesting that many of these very famous, powerful people, they get to fame and power by crooked means, but then they, on the side by side, they also become famous for being altruistic and charitable. You know, they play both games.
Yes. I mean, if you have enough facility, then you can, you give in charity. I mean, some know that giving in charity is important. Others know that, you know, it's good PR. So in any case, you know, however it works. But we see is that actually the charity is important all the way along. Mm. Right. So that's why then, you know, even on the, you know, the simply the family level, community level, then everybody, no one necessarily there is very rich in this and that. So it's everybody's business to be involved in these. Because if everybody's doing something, then everything works very smoothly and nicely. Right. But the difficulty comes is even though doing all those things, if they're not connecting that to Krishna, then, you know, it's pleasant, it's nice, but then it's a waste of time because it's lost, right? The whole thing becomes lost because this life they'll be doing something, but next life you don't know what they'll be, you know, where they'll be, you know, all these different things. So then, you know, it's like, you know, you have the man, he steps up, he does it, he politics well, he becomes the prime minister and all that, you know, the first prime minister. And then after he dies, then, you know, industrializes, does the whole thing, you know, as he desires. So very powerful. And that very influential. But then next life, he becomes a dog with, you know, white fur in Sweden.
Yeah.
You know, well, so now what's his power now? Scaring off the squirrels, or, you know, what does he do now? You know, he's the lord of, you know, this hectare of land, and any squirrel or, you know, bird that comes here, they're going to hear about it. you know, so that's the problem, is that on the material platform, all these qualities are just lost, you know, as someone mentioned, what is it? They're lost like, what is it? Tears in the rain, right? You know, they're gone. It doesn't matter. It's just disappears. And so then one has to appreciate that has to be done in connection with Krishna. So that's why sadhakas, then the duties are performed, but one has to understand this. One has to see is that performance of the duties is to please Krishna. Krishna performs his duties, you know, as in his position, whatever he is, as a family member, or, you know, a community member like this, he performs his duties. So we also perform ours, but we are doing it to please Krishna. Krishna does all these things to, you know, please the devotees. So then we want to see that we're doing all the activities nicely, remembering him and seeing. That's why it's important to see how the acharyas, they show what's the attitude. Because when you're performing an activity, the attitude becomes very important. You know the field. Okay, that's good. And you know how that applies in the field. You know what results you can get from that application in the field. And then you then may be able to actually perform the activity and get the results. But if your attitude's not right, the effect of the result won't bring about the experience that you want. Because the quality of the attitude gives the quality of the effect.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, let's say, the child may do something and they don't do it very expertly. So their knowledge, their skill, the result they get is not, but the attitude is really nice. And so the effect of what they do then gives a very, very wonderful experience, right? While an adult may do something with attitude, and even though it's very expert, it's not very satisfying, you know? So this aspect of the attitude is much of the time underplayed, because those who deal in the modern kind of self-help kind of things, generally this aspect of the attitude in which you have that, you know, that humble attitude, the other things like that. Like that. No, we've come to 67 now. Like that. Okay. Middle of 67. So they don't talk about that because they're trying to, you know, inspire people to do these things. And they'll do it if they can be self-centered and it's all about them and what they benefits they get. Right? Because people don't mind being more sophisticated if they get more results. That's the whole idea of going from the forest life into the civilized life, is that more sophistication, more industry, more technology, more, you know, these aspects, then you add that, then the experience you get, the engagement of the senses becomes greater. So that's the idea of the person on the platform of Anamoy, you know, as we were discussing earlier. From Anamoy, coming up to the platform from unsophisticated to sophisticated. But still, there's no basis of morality. There's no basis of God consciousness. You know, they think that, you know, it's just logic is all there is. And this, all this other is just sentiment. It's nonsense. It's just this body. And when it's finished, it's finished. So, you know, make the most out of it while you can. You know, so that kind of aspect we see is that there's no concept of the attitude. Then when you get into the next level of consciousness, then they may have the idea of, you know, we have to cooperate, there must be morality, there must be these standards, but that's only because they see it will get them more. Because if I work for a greater community, I'll get more than if I only work for myself. Mm. Right? And, you know, even if I could get for myself, you know, then, you know, others are going to be disturbed. So if we work together, then everybody will get and it will be work out nicer. But it's still about oneself. And so even if it's not coming from the platform of, you know, arrogance and all that, it's still self-centered. And so there's still going to be a difficulty there in the being applying oneself into the effort, and that the attitude is still going to be wrong. So trying to correct that, then you see using this pranamoy platform, no, you have to be good, you have to be nice, you have to be this and that, because otherwise people will be disturbed, others won't like us and this and that. But if that's all we're doing, that's just pranamoy. Why do you have to be liked? Why do you have to be this? That brings us to, no, because it's your duties. Where do those duties come from? They come from the Lord, right? And so, but even then we're doing things because of the benefit we'll get from it. You know, in other words, God becomes part of that morality. Then you come up to the, you know, impersonal level. So it's only at the devotional level then you can see things properly as they are in the proper balance. So one wants to appreciate that in this you have these things. It's the qualities that are the basis of things being used. In other words, the qualities, then you apply that through the senses in action. That's going to get the better results than if you perform the same with not. You know, just like somebody's confident and they do an activity, it'll be better than a person who's not confident. Or someone's focused and responsible, they do the same activity. Someone else who's lazy and irresponsible does the same activity, it will give a whole different effect. Because qualities are the basis of action. You know, I mean, the practical. Like that. It means its willpower is going to be the basis for the whole process to work. So that has to be seen, that the qualities, that's why you see here, is if we're going to get into the pastimes, like, because we're starting here first, with this is the vibhava aspect, is what are the qualities of the vishaya, right? You know, the object of love, like that. And then naturally, because we are part and parcel of Krishna, then, you know, there's going to be qualities in, with us in the ashray. And so this is the aspect of the oneness where it's there, but being individual personalities, then we're going to apply that those qualities that are similar in service to Krishna. Then it will work out very nicely. So what you see is when this is appreciated, then you can move on to the other aspects of, you know, what is the specific details of the different rasas and all that. But it starts with this. Vibhava is the first thing to be discussed. Then after that, we'll get into the particular kinds of rati, you know, the stai bhavas, and therefore then the udipans and the anubhavas, and all those things will come along after. But unless one's focused on Krishna as the object of worship, you know, the supreme, the exclusive object of worship, then our endeavors won't be that developed, won't be very effective in Krishna consciousness. So this attitude of devotion is therefore that surrender to Krishna, you know, always being meek and humble, seeing Krishna as one's protector, seeing Krishna as one's maintainer, you know, willing to do things that are, you know, pleasing to Krishna and give up those things that are not pleasing, then that endeavor, that's then going to, those six symptoms of surrender, that's what's going to then bring out all the nice qualities. If that's there, then it'll work. And so we see is in these, you know, the corporate and this and that, they don't deal with these at all. They'll tell you to be nice only because you get profit from that. I deal nice, like you were saying before, they play the game, present themselves as a very wonderful person. And from that, then, you know, so much development is there, so much profit is there. But the point is here, this is not a game in the way of, you know, I'm trying to get profit out of this. I'm trying to please Krishna. And so that's the point at which the corporate falls apart. And you can say, it's no, but we can, you know, take, you know, yuktavai ragi, you can take from anywhere, or you can take gold from a dirty place. Yes. But if it has its natural counterpart in the transcendental pastimes, why would and use it at that level? Why wouldn't you want to use the original? Why you wouldn't want to do those things? Does that make sense? Because then they are being situated in pure goodness, it works. You can say, but we're not in goodness, but you have to desire to come to that platform. You can't just say, well, I'm in, you know, passionate ignorance, and so that's just the way it is. And, you know, it's just, no, that's what you work with. You have to be humble about it. If you're arrogant about, well, we're Westerners, you know, what's all the trip? Then you can remain in that way. Because the point is one must remember is that the arrogance and all these bad qualities, that's what's going to be there specifically in that first level of consciousness. And those people are using all the industry and technology, you know, to the best of their ability to, you know, enhance their life of enjoyment. So it's not that they're, when we say Anamoy is some rough and ready guy down at the docks, means we might have that guy also. Mm-hmm. But it also goes up to that sophisticated guy, you know, that's, you know, selling, you know, how you say, what is it? Is it like, how you say, Smirnoff, you know, or stuff like that, you know? The guy, the top hat, the cane, you know, the thing, you know, he's the man, like that. And so, because that's what he is. He's just the most sophisticated, you know, animal. That's all. So he only dresses well, looks well, because he likes to be like that. People that respect him like that, he gets his stuff done. So it's only for his own benefit that he's doing it. He's not doing it because it's a moral code to control your life in the context of the greater society. He's only doing it because it works for him. It doesn't work for him, he doesn't do it. So we have to know is that, you know, once, as you introduce qualities, that's how it starts to go up, you know? And then when those qualities are seen in context of Krishna, now it starts to get better. And then when you see those qualities in context of Krishna and that we're not the body, we're the soul, it gets more. When you see it's about the soul, you know, ourselves as an individual serving Krishna as an individual for his pleasure, then it actually attains its proper position. It's natural position. Yeah. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. No, Maharaj. Huh. Maharaj, when people criticize devotees for not having good qualities,
yeah,
devotees also. So this should go back to this Anamaya Pranamaya platform. That's why they criticize, because they're on this level.
They'll criticize like that, or it can be that just somebody isn't behaving nicely. And so they can, you know, take it that, you know, maybe Krishna's trying to tell them something. Like I remember once I was doing, you know, I'm doing out on Sankirtan. And, you know, it's always, there's, it means if you're very accomplished in the process, then you work things out according to the situation, the individual and all that, and make things happen. But if not, then, you know, you have to learn some techniques from somebody who is good and you just apply them. Right. And so then we were giving the, you know, the thing of to catch attention because, you know, they're just walking. Ask them the time. And so, you know, you go there to the parking lot, whatever it is that, you know, 10 in the morning or whatever, you know, like that. And, you know, by the afternoon, you know, you've asked like hundreds of people what time it is. So I remember going up to one, you know, middle-aged lady and asking her, you know, the time. She just stopped and looked at me and says, do you really want to know the time? So she could tell us that I had said it so many times. It was so ritualistic. It had no meaning. So then I had to, you know, switch and start talking, you know, not like that. And then, you know, things went better. But it was just, you know, it has to go beyond these aspects is that when by the devotional process, it'll develop. So if someone is behaving with bad qualities, one, they don't understand what they're doing, you know, about doing for Krishna and all that. But two, we have to understand this is the background they come from. So if they say, oh, devotees in the, you know, the 60s and, you know, 70s and all that, they did all these wild things because they were wild people. You know, and when you're 60, 70 years old, you can look back and go, yeah, we should have done this and that was nonsense. And like that, yeah, of course. Now, you know, where's the passion? You can't do all that stuff anymore. You know, but to criticize and say that therefore the devotional work and all that, that's to be negated. Then, like you said, then we're working down on Anamoy. We have to be very, very careful. Or at best, Pranamoy, if we throw in a little New Age. You know, because the lowest level of Pranamoy is basically New Agey. You know, the higher one, then there's a faith in an imagined God. But an imagined God means, you know, like your general person, there isn't a general thing. They just kind of feel, well, there is a God. Maybe there's the Supreme, you know, what it is. Maybe he's this. He's a feeling. He's a force. You know, he lives in the children, or he's in nature, or, you know, this, it's all imagined, because it's not that imagined meaning that they're making up something like a Egyptian, you know, God or something, or a totem pole. What we mean is that it's just in their mind. There's some kind of feeling. There's no real knowledge. There's no real direction. They don't have anything, you know? So in that way, then they just see it's a good thing, you know, and it's better if you behave nicely, you do things very nicely, then it's better. And so to do that, then by having a consciousness of a higher being or something like that, then it's always going to be like you do stuff maybe on your own, you'll do some nonsense, but if God's seeing you and watching, then you'll be careful, you know, like that. And you'll, oh, what's, I'm all this work and I'm all this sacrifice, but no, there'll be some benefit in the future, you know, if not this life, next life, and like this. So there's so many advantages to just making the social moral system work if one has some faith in God.
That's right. Why some people say that even if God doesn't exist, then we have to manufacture him because he's good for society, from a perspective.
Yeah. And if you look at it, because, I mean, if you look at logic, 50%, you could say, you know, I mean, just in the regular, ordinary things, 50%, you could say he's there, or 50% he's not. Right. So if he is there, if you didn't follow, then that's going to be bad, you know. And if he is, but if he's not there, if you did all these things, society went very well. So what's the loss? So in other words, by working with a concept of God, then society will go well. And even if there is no God, society at least went well, you know. And, but if there is a God and you didn't follow all these things nicely, now you got a problem, you know? So like that, then they try to deal. And then, of course, those who actually are theistic, because this other is more imaginary, you know, they go by the scriptures and this and that. And so they'll give some, but for them, they're just, God is just part of their morality. It's not about God. It's not service to God. It's about how, you know, God, if we worship God and that, then he being the big guy, then we get benefit from that. And so from there, it can go up to more and more that there is a, because the purpose is actually to develop love for God. But how many have that kind of benefit? They're more interested in the, you know, the material benefits they'll get from the process, you know. So then if you go the higher levels of that, then you get to devotional service where it's actually about God. You have faith in God. You understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all that. So it takes it a step further. Right? Then things will work very, very nicely. But the point is then it's just a matter of time before the good qualities come up. So if somebody's acting badly, that should be pointed out. It's not, oh, you know, the karmis are nonsense. We can do anything. So that mentality is not correct, because they're also all parts and parcels of the Lord. So we're supposed to deal with them with proper etiquette. But at the same time, that people might not be so sophisticated or this or that, then teach, you know, the whole thing is someone's complaining, oh, you know, devotees, you know, if they wear dhotis, they don't look very good and this and that. Great. So why don't you teach them how to dress properly? But the problem comes is people who will make those comments, generally they themselves wouldn't have any idea how to dress, right? You know, they might know a few things. Okay, your shoes and your belt match, you know, like that, or, you know, a couple of little tricks that they might have remembered, but they don't know the whole thing. They don't know all the etiquettes. And if they did, then they would be, you know, trying to find a forum for teaching people how to, if you're a leader, then you teach them how to dress. If you're a leader and making comments and you don't know how to dress, why are you complaining about them? You know, you can say, oh, but if you wear karmi clothes, it won't look as bad. No, it looks just as bad. You wear karmi clothes not nicely, you look like a slob. At least if you're wearing bed sheets, people know you're a religious person. And if a religious person doesn't know so well how to dress, they're kind of renounced. They got another thing. They're not so socially inclined. So that would be more acceptable than someone who's wearing karmi clothes who looks like a slob. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed. You know, if it came down to there's a street corner there, you're lost, you don't know where you are, and there's a guy in bed sheets there that looks kind of spaced out but pleasant, and there's another guy who, you know, is looks like, you know, I you know, I got my scene going, but he looks like a slob. Which of the two are you going to ask? You're going to ask the devotee. You know, you're not going to ask the guy with the attitude. You know. So that's the whole thing, is that one has to be very careful, is to understand that this attitude is very, very important. So that's why we're studying the qualities of Krishna, the qualities of Radharani, of the devotees. And then we're seeing these are the qualities we work with. But it comes from here, not that, oh, society will only go nicely when we follow morals. That's just straight up front pranamoy. Just straight up front. It's materialism. And it's atheistic materialism, because the society has these rules, not because of God. Even if it is, people say, don't steal. Are they saying don't steal because it's one of the Ten Commandments? You know, oh, this prime minister was caught, you know, doing a little, you know, how you say stuff with the girls down at like that. Is that because of the Ten Commandments? No. So therefore, then where is it coming from? It's pranamoya. So we have to be very, very careful here. We can't think that because I'm a devotee, everything I do is devotional. It's a matter of, no, Krishna and the Acharyas, the scriptures, they talk about what is to be done. And that I try to follow. Then I'm bringing as close as I can. But as we see from the songs of the Acharyas, that even then they still feel that, you know, I'm inclined towards sinful activities. I don't do, there's nothing good about what I do. But in any case, I'm, you know, surrendered to the Lord, and I have that faith that even though I'm the lowest of the low, Krishna being the most merciful, especially as Lord Chaitanya, then, you know, we will gain his mercy and we'll be able to establish ourselves in service to Krishna. So that kind of attitude is good, but you'll see in the self-help books, that's the first thing you'll want to get rid of, is that humility. Like that. And so then how can anything be good? You know, in other words, okay, we're professional in the Shankarshan aspect. We're professional in the, you know, the Prayojana and the mechanics of the Abhideya. But the Prajumna aspect of the attitude, like that, no, we go completely, you know, we're professionals. Then everything's lost. Like that. Because the point is, technique comes from Krishna. It is Krishna. So if you're dealing with Krishna, who is technique, you have the wrong attitude. How is that going to please him? You know? So that's the whole point, is that one has to be very, very careful. Is that if we're talking about pleasing Krishna, then we have to be talking about what's the attitude. And then we, of course, try to learn nicely the techniques of service and worship and philosophy. But it's got to be because it pleases Krishna. This is recommended by the Acharyas. I'm doing this because the Acharyas said, but does that make sense? Not because I read it in a self-help book. Right? That's there. You can pick up pointers from there. That's not a problem. But if you don't then translate them into devotional service, then we have a problem. Like that. So in other words, we want to be talking Srimad Bhagavatam, not newspeak. You know, we have to be very careful. Is that okay?
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah.
Okay. 223.86. Similarly, Srimati Radharani has unlimited transcendental qualities, of which 25 are principal. You know, just like Krishna has unlimited, 64 are principal. Sri Krishna is controlled by these transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani, right? Because she doesn't have to use these qualities and all that necessarily to, you know, create universes and do all that kind of stuff. She uses these 25 to control Krishna. Krishna controls the whole creation, you know, the whole cosmos, and she controls him. So that would give more taste to him. Not that, you know, he by his will and that, then, you know, out of his pores come so many planets. Radharani makes also so many planets, and her planets are better than Krishna's planets. And, you know, you don't need that kind of jazz. It's that he's controlled out in affection like that. Texts 87 and 91 are quoted from Ujjwala Nilamani. Sri Radha Prakarana 11 through 15. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Srimati Radharani's 25 chief transcendental qualities are: 1. She is very sweet. 2. She is always freshly youthful. 3. Her eyes are restless. 4. She smiles brightly. 5. She has beautiful auspicious lines. 6. She makes Krishna happy with her bodily aroma. 7. She is very expert in singing. 8. Her speech is charming. 9. She is very expert in joking and speaking pleasantly. 10. She is very humble and meek. 11. She is always full of mercy. 12. She is cunning. 13. She is expert in executing her duties. 14. She is shy. 15. She is always respectful. 16. She is always calm. 17. She is always grave. 18. She is expert in enjoying life. 19. She is situated because she's expert in enjoying life, so she knows how to do things nicely for Krishna's enjoyment. Means in this situation, how can you enjoy that situation? So she'll arrange that for Krishna so he can enjoy it. 19. She is situated at the topmost level of ecstatic love. 20. She is the reservoir of loving affairs in Gokula. Right? So all loving affairs go back to her. Right? 21. She is the most famous of submissive devotees. 22. She is very affectionate to elderly people. 23. She is very submissive to the love of her friends. 24. She is the chief gopi. 25. She always keeps Krishna under her control. In short, she possesses unlimited transcendental qualities, just as Lord Krishna does. Because when you give, as we saw in Nectar Devotion, that Rupa Goswami, when he's explaining certain qualities, then he brings up that someone might say that, well, what about these qualities? You know, because you hear about devotees using those qualities. So why didn't you explain that in your list? I think it came up when he was talking about the Sancharya Babas. And then he goes to show us that, yes, because this quality comes from here. When you're using a particular quality in a particular way, you get this, you know, and then that transforms into that into this. So he showed the line of how the qualities run. And so when you mention the main qualities, those are the main ones that are functioning, and all other ones that are parts of those. In other words, as those become causes, and then their angas become manifest as effects, then like that, you end up with unlimited qualities. So when we say we start from here, and then in this way, unlimited qualities are manifest. So same way with the 64, you have those kind of things. He's clever, but then from clever, how many different qualities come out and are combined with it to make it give it taste? Right, so she presents unlimited quality just as Lord Krishna does, because for every quality of Krishna that he acts with, she has the counterpart quality and to act with. Then it balances perfectly. 223.92-93. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The basis of all transcendental mellows is the hero and the heroine. And Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, are the best. Right? So you have basis of transcendental mellow is hero and heroine of that Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna the best. So we're talking about transcendental. Of course, in the material world, you also get your hero and heroine, you know, unless, of course, you want to get, you know, all, how you say, if you want to get, you know, a bit woke about it, then, you know, who knows what you're going to end up with here. But the point is that so all the different transcendental mellows and that of the hero and heroine, you're going to have all the different expansions and incarnations and all these different things. The best is Srimati Radharani, Lord Krishna. Just as Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani are the object and shelter of the mellow of conjugal love, so in the mellow of servitorship, Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, is the object, and servants like Chitraka, Raktaka, and Patraka are the shelter. Similarly, in the transcendental mellow of friendship, Lord Krishna is the object, and friends like Sridhama, Sudama, and Subal are the shelter. In the transcendental mellow of parental affection, Krishna is the object, and Mother Jashoda and Maharaj Nanda are the shelter. Right. So that's the whole point of Vishaya and Ashraya. Krishna is the Vishaya, he's the object, the enjoyer, he's the object of the devotional service. And so therefore he's the enjoyer of that devotional service. And then and then the devotee will be the shelter of that particular affection that's directed towards Krishna as the object. Because you're going to have Krishna means he will reciprocate with whatever is the devotee's mood, whatever is the devotee's attraction for him and activities. And so then he is rasa. And so therefore all his parts and parcels are also therefore are imbued with rasa. And so when they manifest their specific individual rasa, he as the origin of all rasa reciprocates in the natural position with that. And so then you're going to have this perfect balance of the ashraya and the vishaya, the object and the shelter. Yeah. Verses 94 to 101. How the transcendental mellows appear and are realized. 223.94. Now here how the mellows appear and how they are realized by the devotees on different transcendental platforms. Text 95 to 98, a quote from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha 2.17-10. 223.95 to 98. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, for those who are completely washed of all material contamination by pure devotional service, who are always satisfied and brightly enlightened in the heart, who are always attached to understanding the transcendental meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam, who are always eager to associate with advanced devotees, whose happiness in the surface of the lotus feet of Govinda is their very life, whose discharge of confidential activities of love, whose happiness is the service of the lotus feet of Krishna is the very, very, very life, who always discharge the confidential activities of love. For such advanced devotees, who are by nature situated in bliss, the seed of love, rati, is expanded in the heart by previous and current reformatory processes. Thus, the mixture of ecstatic ingredients becomes tasty, and being within the perception of the devotee reaches the highest platform of wonder and deep bliss. 223.99 to 101. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the exchange between Krishna and different devotees situated in different transcendental mellows is not to be experienced by non-devotees, right? Because they won't appreciate, so they'll only see it on the material platform, so they won't be able to appreciate transcendental rasa. So that's one, is why that part is not really discussed. You discuss that there is rasa, you can have that rasa, that relationship, and you can find happiness in that in exchange with the Lord. But the details, that's only for devotees, because only they'll appreciate it. Non-devotees cannot understand the exchange of transcendental mellows between the devotees and the Lord. In all respects, this is very difficult to understand. But for one who has dedicated everything to the lotus feet of Krishna, can taste the transcendental mellows. 76. This verse is also found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha 2.5.131. This brief description is an elaboration of the ultimate goal of life. Indeed, this is the fifth and ultimate goal, which is beyond the platform of liberation. It is called Krishna Premadhana, the treasure of love of Krishna. Look at that. So we see here is that all these different aspects, are then given to Sanatana Goswami, because if he's establishing Sambandha Gyan, which means you have to understand the position of all the situation of everything, the existence and the relationship of everything. What are the processes that you can apply to those positions and relationships, and what results you can get from that? He establishes all those different things very nicely. And then in the context of how you're going to apply it in your life, then that is then given by Srila Rupa Goswami. So one might think that, but this is all these things are in nectar devotion. So then, you know, it's been discussed in these last few verses. That's because Rupa Goswami is then showing the application of that. Well, Sanatana Goswami is showing the importance of it, the position of it, you know, how this is actually what we should be trying to understand and practice and those things. Does that make sense? Like that. Versus one, and then, you know, how the what is the standard of deity worship, how it works, what are all the different ways that it functions, and what's the proper attitude, like that. Like, remember the other day we had in class, then someone brought up quotations from Hari Bhakti Vilas, but the attitude in which they mentioned them was not in the line like we see being given here by Lord Chaitanya, about trying to bring out that sweetness and that niceness of what's there. For them, it was more like, how you say, you know, hellfire and brimstone. You know, if you don't do it like this, then, you know, everything's lost and all is destroyed, and you know, like this and everything like that. Those kind of angles are for the karmis, because they're not interested in the spiritual. They're only interested in the material. So then they'll be explained in that way. But because they're explaining the different rituals and all those things, then those verses are used, because the technique is there and proper. And you also know it's an important thing, but you have to know the mood and mentality by which you approach those things, and then it will work. So that's what Sanatana Goswami is doing. Because if we're talking about Sambandha Gyan, that means the attitude of devotional service also. So that means the knowledge, the skills, the relationships, you know, the position, but also the attitude. That's then what's all that Sanatana Goswami was specialized in. But he'll also be described, because that doesn't have any meaning unless you understand what is the process and what is the result. So he's going to explain those things also. So even Rupa Goswami mentions that when he gets down to the 64 items of devotional service, he's quoting from Hari Bhakti Vilas. He's quoting from the teachings that his brother gave, because those aspects have been given. Lord Chaitanya spoke all those to Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami has documented those. And so then, based on that, then Rupa Goswami is then writing. And then we see other acharyas then are taking even as much, as little as one verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and then writing a whole book on one verse. Like that. And so like this, it comes down. It's come from Lord Chaitanya, and in this way it goes down. Okay, verses 102 to 127. 223, 102, 104. These are, Lord gives personal instructions to Srila Sanatana Goswami. Previously, I empowered your brother, Rupa Goswami, to understand these mellows. I did this while instructing him at the Dashwamedha Ghat in Prayag. O Sanatana, you should broadcast the revealed scriptures on devotional service and excavate the lost places of pilgrimage in the district of Mathura. Establish devotional service to Lord Krishna and Radharani in Vrindavan. You should also compile bhakti scriptures and preach the bhakti cult from Vrindavan. Right, so that's what he's doing. He's establishing the glory of, and you know, of how these things are done, how devotional service is. Because without that, then how do you have a proper direction? You know, that's the whole point. Niyamagraha, maybe it takes that only and doesn't understand the attitude and the actual purpose, or it rejects these things. So we have to have that perfect balance, is that you're dealing with all these technical points, but it's not about the technical points. It's about pleasing Krishna. And so therefore, then we can have so much sophisticated technical elements, but it's all just to please Krishna, and we have no other purpose to that. So that attitude is there. And in that way, that's why sometimes the Gaudiyas aren't really understood. They're either taken as sentimentalist, you know, but if you actually check technically, you know, we use some of the most sophisticated elements like that. How we do our timings, how we do our rituals, all these different things are all very sophisticated. But the point is for us, it's not about that and the sophistication. It's just that that's what pleases Krishna. That's what we use. Srila Prabhupada. Sanatana Goswami was enjoined, one, to broadcast the revealed scriptures on devotional service and establish the conclusions of devotional service. Two, so what's the conclusions of Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana? That's what he establishes. That gives the basis. Right? Two, to reestablish lost places of pilgrimage like Vrindavan and Radhakunda. Three, to establish the Vrindavan method of temple worship and install deities in temples. Sri Sanatana Goswami established the Madan Mohan Temple and Rupa Goswami established the Govindaji Temple. And four, to enunciate the behavior of a Vaishnava, as Srila Sanatana Goswami did in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. In this way, Sanatana Goswami was empowered to establish the cult of Vaishnavism. As stated by Srivas Thakur in his Sad Goswami Astaka, two, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipanao Sad Dharma Samstapakao Lokanam Hitakare Nao Tribhuvane Manyao Sharanyakarao Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Bhajana Nandena Mata Likao Bande Rupa Sanatanao Ragu Jago Shri Jiva Gopalako. I offer my respectful obeisances under the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental affairs of Radha Krishna. Right, so they're doing for all human beings. So this idea is that, oh no, they're just writing stuff just for the Indians, and then, you know, we have to have some other piety for in the West, like that. No, it's there for all human beings, and they're honored all over the three worlds. So it's not that we may not appreciate that or know that, but that's actually the position, is that they're honored by everyone throughout the universe. But you see, when Sukadev Goswami, when he came and came to the bank of the, would it be there, Jamuna? Then individuals came from all over the universe to hear him speak. You know, it was such a great occasion. So, like this, the acharyas, they're honored throughout the universe. We may not know about it. We may not appreciate it, but that's actually their position. And they're very expert in scrutinizing, studying all the scriptures, right, to establish eternal religious principles. So what's the actual religious, eternal religious principle? You know, and what details can be used to support that? Because you're always going to have what's the direct activity, and then who's going to have the indirect. So the indirect will have its mechanics, is supportive of, it's neutral or supportive of the devotional activities. Those religious principles that aren't in support of, you know, these, the eternal religious principles, then those aren't used, even though they may be appropriate according to Shastra for certain persons. But what our acharyas give us, that's for all times. It's not that now we take that and now we go through, you know, we are very expert in scrutinizing, studying all the scriptures given by the Goswamis with the aim of establishing what actually we're going to do. That's not, you know, that's not the job description, right? Means they've already done it. They've gone to other Shastras. So therefore, anything that we see, we have to see it through the perspective that they have given us, because their perspective is the perspective given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Krishna conscious movement continues the tradition of the six Goswamis, especially Srila Sanatana Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami. Serious students of this Krishna conscious movement must understand their great responsibility to preach the cult of Vrindavan, devotional service to the Lord all over the world. We now have a nice temple in Vrindavan, and serious students should take advantage of it. I'm very hopeful that some of our students can take up this responsibility and render the best service to humanity by educating people in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, because that's the whole point, is we're educating people in Krishna consciousness. That's the actual point. That's what the movement is for. There's not another purpose to this movement. 223.105. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Sanatana Goswami about proper renunciation according to a particular situation. And the Lord forbade dry renunciation and speculative knowledge in all respects. Srila Prabhupada, this is the technique for understanding Shukshka Vairagya and Yukta Vairagya. Shushka almost sounds Russian, doesn't it? Shushka Vairagya. In the Bhagavad Gita 6:17, it is said, Yuktahara viharasya yukta chaitasya karmasu yuktas swapna vabhodhasya yoga bhavati dukaha. He who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. End quote. To broadcast the cult of Krishna consciousness, one has to learn the possibility of renunciation in terms of country, time, and candidate. A candidate for Krishna consciousness in the Western countries should be taught about the renunciation of material existence, but one should teach candidates from a country like India in a different way. The teacher, Acharya, has to consider time, candidate, and country. He must avoid the principle of Niyamagraha. That is, he should not try to perform the impossible. What is possible in one country may not be possible in another. The Acharya's duty is to accept the essence of devotional service. There may be a little change here and there as far as Yukta Vairagya, proper renunciation, is concerned. Dry renunciation is forbidden by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have also learned this from our spiritual master, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Goswami Maharaj. The essence of devotional service must be taken into consideration and not the outward paraphernalia, right? So from this, then one must appreciate that you're trying to develop pure devotional service. So you're trying to give what aspects you can, to what degree that devotional service will be appreciated and understood. We can't take this and use this in an external form, that it's only about, well, what can we get them to externally do? It's about, no, but if they don't have the attitude of pure devotion, then we've missed the point of the Yukta Vairagya. Because the Yukta is to connect to Krishna, and the Vairagya means that we're not attached to our material position. So even though one may be comfortable working in a Western position, that doesn't mean that the attitude's not that of pure devotion. If that's not understood, then Yukta Vairagya actually is not accomplished. But to say, no, it has to have the exact form like it does somewhere else. No, but the point is the principles, they'll always apply. Principles always apply, right? You know, because if you don't know how to cook, it doesn't matter what you cook, it's going to be bad. And if you know the principles of cooking, anything you cook will be good. So then certain persons may appreciate certain preparations, like you see, when Prabhupada would cook, he would put a lot of emphasis on these, you know, very full, rich vegetables, like, you know, deep fried eggplant with the deep fried paneer and the nice sauce and everything like that. Because in the West, they would very much appreciate that. While in India, then you might use another variety of different things or some very specific preps that, you know, are very popular. But the principles of cooking don't change. And so what's going to be palatable to somebody, that you have to see. It's not that, oh, it's Indian, they won't like it. Because that's a very bogus kind of approach. It's a matter of that quality of cooking. So maybe you'll use certain ingredients and this and that. And then you're going to come up with what you deal with. Sanatana Goswami wrote his Vaishnav Smriti, Hari Bhakti Vilas, which was specifically meant for India. In those days, India was more or less following the principles of Smartavidhi. Srila Sanatana Goswami had to keep pace with this, and his Hari Bhakti Vilas was compiled with this in mind. According to Smarta Brahmins, a person not born in a Brahmin family cannot be elevated to the position of a Brahmin. Sanatana Goswami, however, says in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 2.12 that anyone can be elevated to the position of a Brahmin by the process of initiation. Yata kanchanatam yati kamsham rasa vidhanata tata diksha vidhanena dvijatvam jayate mudinam. As bell metal is turned into gold when mixed with mercury in an alchemy process, so one who is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a brahmana. Right? So here, there's a difference between the Smarta process and the Goswami process. It means he was considering, but it didn't mean that he wasn't giving our conclusions. So even though he's dealing with the Smarta community, he establishes things as they actually are. So in the same way, even if you're dealing with the non-Vedic community, you still have to establish things as they are. What's the principle that actually is working? Thus, there's a difference between the Smarta process and the Goswami process. According to the Smarta process, one cannot be accepted as a Brahmin unless he's born in a Brahmin family. According to the Goswami process, the Hari Bhakti Vilas and the Narada Pancharatra, anyone can be a Brahmana if he is properly initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. This is also the verdict of Sukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18. Kirata Punandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumbha Yavana Kashadhaya Yenye Chapapa Yad Apashrayashraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Right, you know, this is that verse where we can all feel talking about our people, right? You know, no,
honorary
Kiratas. Sorry,
honorary mention.
Yes, we get the honorary mention. Yeah, Kiratas, Hunas, Andras, Pulindas, Pulkashas, Abiras, Shumbas, Yavanas, and members of the Kasha races, and even others who are addicted to sinful acts. Right, you know, unless you're in one of those, that's where at least we get an honorable mention, right? And even others who are addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to his being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Right, so he's considering their position, but that doesn't mean that within that, he's not, as Lord Chaitanya says, cleverly establishing the Vaishnava position. Right, so we have to be very careful. Oh, no, that's just for India. That's just for this and that. It's specifically meant there. But those things that apply, they apply. Some technical points may not be used, but the principle points will always be used. You can't give up the principle points. And so then you do what you can. So it's a nice balance that you don't want it to be, I'm doing it because it's the rule, or I'm not doing it because we don't care about the rule. It has to be we're trying to please the Lord, so we're doing the best we can. And so then you work it in what will work nicely. So there has to be that honesty there in that. And then things will work very well. Yes? No? Yeah, good. Okay, so stop here for today. Om Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.